the latest agriculture news from across the state and the nation, here's Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Here's your host, Danielle Leal.
Hey, good Wednesday morning, and thanks for joining us today here on AgNet West's Farm City Newsday. Fires burning across the Sierra Nevada have created mandatory evacuations for residents in the Central Valley. For folks with large animals evacuating to the Fresno-Clovis area, the Fresno County Fairgrounds is one place you can house your large animals. If you're in the South Valley, Tulare County area and are evacuating from a fire, the Woodlake Rodeo Grounds and the Porterville Fairgrounds are offering shelter for large animals as well. All right, moving on to what's happening in today's show. Brian German is talking with us about Sigma and a video series that is available in both English and Spanish. Also, the last day to provide input on USDA's hemp program is October 8th. You can get all the information on how to participate in today's show. Taylor Hellman has the details on the walnut industry's recent marketing shift as more people are cooking and baking at home. And the agriculture industry shared its disappointment with a recent announcement by the governor. Let's start off today's program on this topic. The governor has endorsed Proposition 15, and the industry responded. The split-roll property tax initiative, which would reassess and raise taxes on commercial and industrial properties, including agriculture facilities, has recently received a thumbs-up by Governor Gavin Newsom, and the agriculture industry has shown their disappointment. California Farm Bureau President Jamie Johansson said the endorsement ignores the measure's harmful impact on the state's rural communities by stating, quote, "The measure would increase taxes on barns, dairies, wineries, processing plants, vineyards, orchards, and other agricultural improvements," adding that will harm our farming and ranching community, but the impacts go far beyond that. By further reducing access to affordable, healthy, locally grown food, California's grocery bills will increase, adding to the worries of people who already struggle to pay their bills. In a statement, Western Growers President and CEO Dave Puglia says, quote, "California farms and businesses are withering under a hostile and worsening legal and regulatory climate that has been compounded by the COVID-19 economic shutdowns," adding, quote, "We need relief from the massive weight of California regulatory and tax policies that are increasingly motivating business owners to escape to friendlier states and countries. Proposition 15, if passed, will add more fuel to the motivation to quit California." Both groups are part of the Vote No on Prop 15 campaign. Stay tuned with AgNet West and this radio station as we continue to provide you with coverage on Prop 15 as we get closer to the November ballot. But for right now, here is back-to-back reports with Brian German.
CDFA's Pink Bollworm program has released their final mapped numbers for 2020 cotton. President and CEO of the California Cotton Ginners and Growers Association, Roger Isom, explained there was a significant drop this year in acreage.
Unfortunately, it's as we expected. It's about a 30% reduction in acreage from 2019, partly due to COVID, partly due to water. But bottom line is it's a significant drop in acreage, and we'd like to see more cotton acreage out there. But this COVID has basically shut the cotton industry down. There's very few retail outlets open, or they're just starting to open now. But at the same time, you know, most of our mills overseas were shut down as well. So we weren't producing the fabric or the clothes or the towels or sheets. And so we think that cotton, out of all commodities, has been probably impacted the most because it wasn't just a price reduction. It's flat, just not moving. So that's been a problem for us.
For AgNet West Radio Network, I'm Brian German. Thursday, October 8th is the last day to submit any comments on the U.S. Domestic Hemp Production Program. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has reopened the comment period to the interim final rule that was published last year and established the U.S. Domestic Hemp Production Program. All stakeholders are being invited to provide feedback on the interim final rule, especially those who were subject to the regulatory requirements during the 2020 production cycle. The Agricultural Marketing Service is interested in all additional input from all aspects of the hemp production program. AMS is particularly interested in comments on topics such as disposal and remediation of non-compliant plants, interstate commerce, hemp breeding and research, and the 15-day harvest window. Written comments should be submitted via the federal e-rule marketing portal at regulations.gov. For AgNet West Radio Network, I'm Brian German.
Thanks, Brian. And in more agriculture news, farm groups are asking Congress to ensure that USDA has the tools to help farmers. Chad Smith tells us they're requesting a replenishment to the Commodity Credit Corporation.
Funding for the Commodity Credit Corporation typically is one of the least controversial items on Capitol Hill. However, this year may be different. Andrew Walmsley, Senior Director of Congressional Relations with the American Farm Bureau, says CCC funding is in jeopardy unless Congress approves money that USDA needs to support farmers and ranchers.
The authorities granted by Congress has provided funding to stabilize and support farm income and commodity prices, along with conservation practices. This is something that's usually not been controversial up until last year, but now some seem to be playing politics with what's normally a routine practice in Congress.
Walmsley says without CCC replenishment, key farm bill commodity support and conservation program funding that had overwhelming support 2 years ago in the farm bill would be delayed. The timing of a delay could not come at a worse time.
We're seeing impacts from lockdowns and the COVID-19 pandemic to the farm economy. Agricultural trade continues to face headwinds. Farm level cash receipts are at decade lows. Commodity prices remain depressed. Farm debt is record high. Working capital has been cut in half. Farmers and ranchers need all the assistance they can find. And USDA needs the resources for an immediate reimbursement to the commodity credit corporations.
AFBF, along with dozens of other organizations, sent a letter to Congress requesting replenishment of the CCC. Walmsley says farmers and ranchers can also help by reaching out to their members of Congress.
We're in negotiations, so nothing's determined, but picking up the phone or sending an email to your member of Congress, and particularly your senator, as we're seeing some of these challenges really crop up in the Senate, let them know how important farm bill programs are and how tough it is in farm country, would hopefully move this discussion along, and we won't see the CCC replenishment jeopardized.
Chad Smith, Washington.
And it is time for us to head out for our first break, but we'll be right back with more agriculture news, including Randall Wiseman with our livestock report when we return. Remember, you're listening to Farm City News Day by Agnet West. We'll be right back. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds. Welcome back to Farm City News Day by Agnet West, and now here's Brian German.
A series of videos offered in both English and Spanish detail how the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act is going to impact the San Joaquin Valley. The videos are available through a YouTube channel called Cali Water Ag. PhD candidate at UC Merced, Vicky Espinoza, explained the importance of offering the videos in both languages.
The reasoning for having it both in English and Spanish is because as I was putting together in-person workshops and participating in farmer conferences, I noticed that a lot of our Latino farmers were just not receiving the information about CIGMA, since those materials are mostly found in English. And through the Department of Water Resources, there are Spanish materials. They're just embedded in so much English material that it could be a little bit difficult for a Spanish speaker to find that information. I also have a tutorial available on the channel for our Spanish speakers about how to navigate the Department of Water Resources website to find specific Spanish translated materials. And so because I noticed that there was a knowledge equity gap, I realized that this conversation can't really be had if that information isn't available to them in English and Spanish. And for me, it's important to empower our growers and empower our community members to fully understand what is CIGMA, what its implications are, how it will impact them, and how they can have a say in future decisions related to CIGMA.
For Agnet West Radio Network, I'm Brian German.
Well, in today's livestock news, election year politics continue to complicate efforts to push additional agriculture aid through Congress. And according to Paul Bleiberg, National Milk Producers Federation Vice President for Government Relations, that doesn't look to change anytime soon.
Given that Congress is only going to be in for a few weeks and they've got a contested election coming up very soon, political pressures and needs are going to dominate everything that happened the next 3 weeks. And so I think a fairly minimal amount of final work is to be expected here. And that's to say, I think they will find some path forward to keeping the government funded past September 30th. Beyond that, I don't expect too much to get done. Obviously, there's a lot of discussion still around another COVID relief package, but the disagreements between the two parties continue to be very significant, both as it relates to the overall amount of money to spend on COVID relief and to the specifics amount of amounts of money to spend on discrete areas, including state and local aid, as well as the scope and duration of any extended enhanced unemployment benefits. And so for that reason, I think it may be very difficult for too much more to get done on COVID. I think there may be some areas where they can reach agreement on COVID. And if so, those items will probably be packaged onto a continuing resolution.
But Blyberg notes the dollars that have already been authorized may allow USDA to provide more aid to dairy farmers.
It does sound like USDA is going to use some of the additional funds that Congress provided in the CARES Act as the basis for essentially a CFAP 2.0 that we expect to hear more about very soon. I think a primary difference between CFAP 1.0 and CFAP 2.0, at least is what's been discussed broadly in public so far, would be that the 2.0 program would be based on losses, you know, after quarter one. You know, CFAP 1.0 was finalized in mid-May, so it was quarter one losses primarily. I think our sense is that a CFAP 2.0 program would look at losses in quarter two and beyond, which is very beneficial, not just for purposes of reflecting the losses producers have actually faced, but also accounting for the needs of some of the seasonal producers whose production is less in quarter one, and thus they weren't going to be able to get as much help out of a CFAP 1.0. If you're looking at quarter two loss and quarter two production, obviously they'll be better off as far as how they'd be compensated. So I think that's what we sense so far. As to some of the other details, we'll probably get a better handle when the program comes out.
To hear his full podcast, go to the NMPF website. That's nmpf.org. And USDA's Ag Marketing Service has purchased over 119,000 pounds of lamb rack roast in response to a September 1 solicitation. The racks will be for use in child nutrition and other related domestic food assistance programs. Superior Farm submitted the winning bid, and it came in at a price range of $15.89 to $16.03 per pound. The American Sheep Industry Association successfully sought the approval of racks for purchase this summer by citing the absence of food service, which is the primary market for the cut. I'm Randall Wiseman for AgNet West.
Wrangler looks to highlight healthy soil practices. The well-known apparel brand Wrangler is teaming up with the Soil Health Institute to promote healthy soil practices. They are collaborating on a program that will help celebrate the benefits of regeneratively grown cotton with the new gene and are seeking participation from farmers around the globe. Wrangler and the Soil Health Institute is asking farmers to submit documentation and evidence that proves there's been soil health improvements and environmental benefits from the farming practices they have implemented on their operation. Each submission will be considered for the purchase of cotton for Wrangler's Retro Premium Regenerative Gene Special Collection. Cotton farmers who have evidence such as improvements in soil carbon, soil physical properties, or biological properties can apply to participate in the program. If you'd like to find out more information on how to apply or the program itself, visit soilhealthinstitute.org. And it is time for us to head out for a quick break, but we'll be right back with more of the day's Farm City News Day when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds. Welcome back to Farm City News Day by AgNet West. Now for more agriculture news with Taylor Hillman.
Today's specialty crop news brought to you by the California Walnut Board. You can find them online at walnuts.org/walnutindustry. When COVID-19 restrictions kept everyone at home and closed restaurants, a lot of consumers apparently rediscovered baking. The California Walnut Board and Commission, like many other organizations, saw the need to shift their marketing strategy as the everyday life of the consumer had drastically changed. Jennifer Williams, Marketing Director, Domestic Advertising at the California Walnut Board, said being flexible allowed them to focus their efforts on recipes and baking. She said mailers and a recipe campaign drove some impressive numbers with retailers. The Walnut Board's blog and shoppable recipes on the website aided those efforts even more, and Williams said the data shows double-digit growth in several categories. We're talking with the California Walnut Board and Commission Marketing Director for Domestic Advertising, Jennifer Williams. Jennifer, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. How are you?
I'm doing well. So we are going through September pretty quickly. October will be here soon. And it seems like we've been dealing with some of the COVID-19 stuff now for a long time. We're actually pretty familiar with it. But some interesting things happened over the last several months. And one of the things that you were mentioning was the interest in home baking. And that was something that the California Walnut Board kind of wanted to highlight as something that we can possibly take advantage of here.
Exactly. Yeah. COVID has been stretching what's only been like a few months, seems like years, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, cooking and baking at home really did surface as a huge trend during COVID, as many Americans were forced to shelter in place. And so we pivoted our media outreach to focus on baking and especially banana bread and cookies recipes. And this was really a big shift for us since we really have been focusing on snacking and plant-based entrees for a while now. But we saw the need and we were able to be nimble. This effort really helped drive recipe coverage March through, July and August, which has doubled year over year in a summertime where walnuts are traditionally not as, you know, used or spoken about in the media as they are during the holidays, for example. So we did some kitchen mailers and we led to, and it led to a lot of increased coverage through our PR efforts, but we also designed a specific recipe collection for our website, and we promoted those to the consumers through multiple platforms. We partnered with influencers to create pantry staple recipes to really help consumers during this time. But along with recipes, we leveraged our blog to push out even more baking and simple walnut usage content. And our blog has actually been a huge driver of traffic to the site, with new articles showing consumers all kinds of ways to use walnuts beyond baking and salad toppers. We saw huge spikes in visits to walnuts.org, in fact, our website. And walnuts were actually really popular in many places. One of our partner sites, allrecipes.com, which is a number one recipe platform online, they saw a 169% increase in searches for recipes with walnuts. And on social media, our baking ad was 55% better than the previous month's ads. And we increased our audience size on social media at nearly double our normal growth rate. So it was an incredible time.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's some interesting numbers to digest there. And it made me think about a few associations changed the way they were doing things, mainly focusing a lot of their stuff into digital. But you guys took it one step further to that and, you know, focused in on this home baking, which you're right, with everybody sheltering at home, that's what kind of drove this.
Yeah. And, you know, with this big spike in home cooking and baking, we've actually seen some really strong sales at retail as well. When we look at the IRI data from March 23rd through August 9th, overall retail sales are up 16% over the same period in 2019, and grocery alone performed even better, up over 25%. And with strong movement, this crop year, sales are up 5% overall and up 11.5% at grocery. And with record number of consumers shopping for groceries online, we actually pivoted to a retail e-commerce test program that launched in July on sites like Kroger, Amazon, Instacart, Albertsons, Safeway, and Ahold Banners. And the CWB has actually never conducted a program like this before, but we knew the time was right. And considering what's going on in the marketplace, we're constantly watching that marketplace. We're shifting programs or developing new programs to meet the market where it's at. So this program delivered over 21 million impressions in just July and August. And as of the end of August, the program delivered over $500,000 in attributed walnut sales, with nearly 75,000 units of walnuts sold. And that's a 2.7 return on investment. Instacart was the strongest performer with 11.4 return on investment. But in addition, we've also taken smaller steps, like making all of the recipes on walnuts.org shoppable, which means when you click on a recipe on walnuts.org, you can add all the ingredients in that recipe to an online shopping cart. And that action alone has resulted in nearly $150,000 in walnut sales.
Wow, I did notice that the other day, actually, when I was on your guys' site. That is a pretty cool feature, and cool that you can quantify that. Sounds like those types of features. And then also the blog have been a huge help. Where can people find the blog if they haven't looked at it?
The blog is right there on walnuts.org. If you look in our top navigation, you'll see a link for it.
Very good. Again, Marketing Director for Domestic Advertising for the California Walnut Board and Commission, Jennifer Williams. Jennifer, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Reporting for AgNet West Radio Network, I'm Taylor Hillman.
Thanks, Taylor. And it is time for us to head out for a quick break, but we'll be right back with more of today's agriculture news when we return. Remember, you can always catch any of today's reports by heading on over to our website. That's www.agnetwest.com for more information. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds. Welcome back to Farm City News Day by AgNet West. And in more agriculture news, 2020 has brought another year of natural disasters on top of a pandemic, underscoring the need to make sure the farm and your family is prepared. Michael Clements has more in this report.
Wildfires again in the West, Hurricane Laura, and threats of others, along with the Iowa derecho, highlight the need to be prepared. AARP Oklahoma State Director Sean Voskel says preparing for natural disasters during the coronavirus pandemic adds an extra challenge.
Preparing the farm or ranch for a natural disaster is an ongoing activity. But in 2020, it's important to further address farm worker safety along with the safety of your family and farm or livestock. The Red Cross recommends enough supplies for 7 days per person, including water, masks, hand sanitizer, and medications. It's also important to talk about your natural disaster plan regularly with everyone involved on the farm, so there are no surprises when natural disasters strike, and have a communication plan in place when they do.
September is National Preparedness Month, encouraging Americans to be prepared for disasters or emergencies in their communities. Voskel says it's important to sit down and figure out what potential emergency you should be prepared for.
It's important to know what disasters may impact your farm or ranch and how they will do so. Certain disasters are naturally more common in specific geographies across the United States. Are you concerned with flooding, severe storms, wildfires, or hurricanes? Know what type of natural disasters are more likely to impact you so you can efficiently develop your plan.
And following natural disasters, Voskel warns, know how to identify relief scams.
We hate to say this, but in times like these, after a natural disaster strikes, fraudsters are on the prowl to take advantage of the situation. They might offer to repair damage at a reduced rate, but want all the money up front. Or they tell you they're from your insurance company, but you don't have the proper ID. Or they could represent a fraudulent relief fund. So beware, and do not feel pressured to say yes in any of these situations.
Learn more natural disaster preparation tips by watching AARP Live Thursday night at 9 p.m. Central Time on RFD-TV or at aarp.org/AARP Live. Michael Clements reporting.
And in more agriculture news, we're experiencing La Nina. So what does that mean for the western part of the country and right here in California? USDA's Stephanie Ho talks with USDA's meteorologist Brad Ribby in this report.
For the western part of the country, La Nina tends to mean wetter conditions in the north and drier conditions in the south.
With the stronger northern jet stream, we get even more precipitation than usual, oftentimes starting in October or November. And that would be a big boon across the northern half of the western United States if this pattern evolves as expected.
That was USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey.
So that would help with drought, with wildfire abatement, and just be a general relief for that region.
However, he says there tends to be a fairly sharp line dividing cooler and wetter conditions from warmer and dry conditions.
So it's a huge concern for the Southern Great Basin, for Southern California and the Southwest, that these generally warm and dry conditions could persist deep into the autumn or even the winter months, and that would lead to further drought intensification as well as keeping the wildfire season open longer than normal.
This is Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
And as we near the end of today's program, we're going to round out the show today with a recap of one of Brian German's stories talking about a Sigma video series that's available in both English and Spanish. Let's take a listen.
A series of videos offered in both English and Spanish detail how the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act is going to impact the San Joaquin Valley. The videos are available through a YouTube channel called Cali Water Ag. PhD candidate at UC Merced, Vicky Espinoza, explained the importance of offering the videos in both languages.
The reasoning for having it both in English and Spanish is because as I was putting together in-person workshops and participating in farmer conferences, I noticed that a lot of our Latino farmers were just not receiving the information about Sigma, since those materials are mostly found in English. And through the Department of Water Resources, there are Spanish materials. They're just embedded in so much English material that it could be a little bit difficult for a Spanish speaker to find that information. I also have a tutorial available on the channel for our Spanish speakers about how to navigate the Department of Water Resources website to find specific Spanish translated materials. And so because I noticed that there was a knowledge equity gap, I realized that this conversation can't really be had if that information isn't available to them in English and Spanish. And for me, it's important to empower our growers and empower our community members to fully understand what is Sigma, what its implications are, how it will impact them, and how they can have a say in future decisions related to Sigma.
For AgNet West Radio Network, I'm Brian German.
To get more information on the topics you heard today, visit AgNet West online at agnetwest.com. You can follow AgNet West on Twitter and Facebook with @AgNetWest. Follow Brian German with @BrianAgNetWest, Danielle Leal with @DLealAgNetWest, and Taylor Hillman with @TheManOfTheHill. This has been Farm City Newsday by AgNet West.